My name is Ryan Maloof, and my wife and I are the lead pastors of this great place, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you and to get a chance to spend some time in God's Word and just talk about the goodness of God. We have been in a series on God through us, and I just want you to know that as a church, we believe that we were not designed just to occupy a seat. That it's appropriate that we take a moment and sit in the seat and grow in our faith, but we were meant to change the world. We were meant to live for things that were bigger than ourselves. And so I believe that as we're in this series, God Through Us, that I just want to prepare you that you're going to begin to experience life like you've never experienced it before. And that God's going to put you in places, and it's going to cause you to trust and step out in ways that you didn't know. But I just want to tell you, get ready for open doors. Get ready for favor like you didn't know what to even do with. Get ready for things to happen and people's lives to be changed around you because you allow God to work His way through you. I when I think about religion, I think we would like to manage people. And that's really where religion came. Religion came in this idea that if we just kind of put everybody in this box, they'll operate and function the way we want them to function. And so that's why you have a lot of people disillusioned with religion. By the way, I'm disillusioned by it. Because this was never meant to be a religion. This was meant to be a relationship of a living God who wants to move on our behalf. And so when we get some moments like this to talk about Jesus and what He wants to do, I just want to prepare you that two things are going to happen. One, you're not going to stay the same. The process of becoming is, it's really fun. The process of becoming more, and then the experience of seeing people's lives be changed. That's what we believe in. And that is not religion, because you can't contain that. It's crazy and messy and strange and bizarre and real and exciting and adventurous. And at the end of the day, we get to be a part of what God is doing. So I hope that you experience the bigness of God today as we spend a few moments together in His Word. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for what You're doing in Expression Church. We thank You for the bigness that we get to live in You. I pray today, Lord, that You would move on our behalf and speak to our hearts that we would be able to hear what it is that You're doing. Lord, we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, if not, we have a giant one behind me, and we're going to go into John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His followers, and He begins to paint this picture of what it looks like for God to move through us. Now, it would be easier if we kind of said, well, this isn't, you know, for us today. It was just for the followers back then. But if you know anything about a real and alive God, it had nothing to do with times and seasons, that He wants to move through people all throughout history and time. And so I'm a firm believer that God wants to do what He did back then. He wants to do it now. And He wants to do it in us and through us. So when we take a look at the Scripture, we believe it's for us. It's not just Jesus talking to a group of people that was in a certain time, but He's specifically including us in this conversation because He didn't just die for the people of that age. So if His words are just for that season, then He just died for the people of that age. Baloney! Hogwash! Poo-poo! The Bible says that His blood covers the sins of everyone through all time and space, which means that His words are for us. All right, so here we go. John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, it says this. This is Jesus painting the picture of what this looks like, and He's speaking to His followers and to us. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in Me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. And then in just a few moments from there, He says, I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send You the Holy Spirit. And so you see this connection with the idea of what we're going to be able to do, God through us, with the connection of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that through this time, we're going to see that connection grow even greater. My wife and I, as you heard maybe last week if you were here, we're in an interesting season. And for the last 20 years, we celebrated our 20-year anniversary this last week. If you didn't see on my Instagram, but we're celebrating our 20-year anniversary, and we celebrated it through texting and phone calls, and it was really exciting. Because my wife is now in L.A. with my daughter, where there's an opportunity that my daughter's had to be able to step into this. And we thought it was going to look one way, and it's kind of turned out to be another. And so she's kind of been there and in this season. But, you know, when we're together, when my wife and I are together, it's amazing. I just find things work out. One of the great things that I have with my wife is that she's like a human GPS. And so whenever I'm driving, I just have these feelings about turning right and left. I don't know what it is, but I'll be on a road and I just feel like it should be right here. And I'll just turn on the blinker and I'll just turn right. And she's like, babe, where are you going? I don't know. I just felt right. And so she's kind of been like, I remember when my son was younger, he told someone, he's like, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to get married because I'm going to need somebody to tell me where to go all the time. Like it's amazing what your children pick up on, right? Like, it's amazing also to see just the schedule of my children. It just works. When my wife and I are together, like, she just puts on my calendar the events of the children, and I just find myself going along and going, well, I guess tonight I'm going to go to my son's basketball game. Well, how did you know this? Because my wife put it on my calendar. It's so easy being married. Your wife just does everything, and you just show up and look great. Like, it's amazing how the laundry folds itself and winds up stacked in certain places. And my son, the other day, he comes to me because my wife is gone. He's like, Dad, where's my shorts? And I'm like, do I look like the guy that knows where your shorts are? He's like, well, I think they're dirty. I'm like, well, did you put them in the dirty clothes? Yeah. Well, did you tell me they were in the dirty clothes? No. Well, then that's your problem. You got to tell me so I know when I'm supposed to step in. It's crazy, too, because in this season when she's been gone, it's like I didn't even understand how this schedule thing works. And now I have to use my GPS on my phone all the time because I just never paid attention to where I was driving because I only drive in Cedar Park. So every time I go out of this place, I feel like I'm lost. And my wife just knows everywhere we're going. And so I find that no matter where I'm going to the grocery store, I type it into my GPS just so that I can act like my wife's in the car and not have to think. Food and laundry and all of these things and schedules, my wife tells me about all the stuff that she does, but I just kind of, all I hear is like, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. I know I don't really hear it like that, but I look into her eyes and I go, babe, thank you. You're so amazing. No, I think you kind of just assume that it's just going to be taken care of because she's here. This passage of scripture that Jesus shares this with his followers, there's an important context to see it in. Because we're in this thing called life, and we're surrounded by people, and he tells us we're going to do great things, and we're going to do even greater than we can even comprehend, but I don't even know what that looks like. And yeah, it's connected to the Holy Spirit, but what does that even mean? And I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. And you just kind of get used to somebody being in the room. So the context of this verse, as you back out into John chapter 13, Jesus is with his followers as he's building to this moment where he wants to paint the picture of what he wants to do through them. He starts with the Last Supper. It's this story that unfolds where all the disciples are there, and it's the last time they share a meal before Jesus dies. And so he's telling them, I'm going away. But it's hard to grasp that when the person's there. Like, you're like, yeah, whatever, you know, but you're still here. Like, there you are. And so he, kind of like how when my wife's like, you know, when I'm not here, you're going to have to take care of this. Oh, yeah, whatever. And then you just realize your sheets don't wash themselves. Like, it's just interesting, you know. And so he's with his followers at the Last Supper, and he does something extraordinary. He wants to demonstrate this idea of love that is far greater than just words. Love you, bro. I'm on your team. I'm on your side. Whatever you need, I'm here for you. Those words seem so easy, but when it comes to real life, love was meant to have power and action connected to it. And so Jesus gets down on his hands and knees and he, wait. First of all, just let me connect you to who Jesus is if you don't know. He's the Son of the living God. The Bible describes that everything that's created came through and by him. So he is now getting on his hands and knees, pulling off the sandals of the followers, the guys that they should be taking care of him, and he's washing their nasty toes. Stinky feet that have been walking for miles to get here. Yuck. We have people for that, but yet he demonstrates something that is so contrary to the world in which we live, is that just because I'm in charge doesn't mean that I don't know how to demonstrate love. And so then at this moment, he turns to his followers, and this is what he says in John 13, 14 through 15. And since I, your Lord and teacher, the master of the universe, He-Man, have washed, sorry, that was for the 80s generation right there. The rest of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. It's okay. Power of the Grayskull. Okay, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Have washed your feet. You also ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. I'm giving you an example to do that is something beyond what you can actually comprehend. It's the rain. It's normal. It's a metal roof. That's what it does. Jesus, in this moment, demonstrates to his followers, I want you to be able to do something that's greater than what you can comprehend. That's what love is. Love has power and action to it. So he says this. But you see, when Jesus is in the room, they're kind of like, well, that's great. Like, thank you. Next time we have another dinner, you can go ahead and wash mine too, because you made a big deal about it. But you know, and maybe everyone in the room is kind of thinking like, wow, that was kind of unusual. But yeah, that's kind of easy. Like, okay, we can do this. Then following that, Jesus has a conversation about him leaving. And he leans into this idea of love just a little bit more. As he's talking about leaving, he says in, this is the context, remember, that we're talking about. He says in John chapter 13, 34, he says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my followers. Whoa, he just took it a whole nother level. Your love for one another is going to prove to the world that you're my followers? Like, Jesus, like, I get it, but I really don't get it, right? Like, you're here, you're in the room, you really know how to love people. Like, you know, some of the followers, some of the disciples, like, you know, we're just kind of together because you're in the room. So, you know, we say yes and we're kind of together, but you kind of make stuff work when you're here. So it kind of makes it easy to do things when the person that kind of makes it look easy does it for you. And so Jesus has constantly demonstrated what it looks to be radical in love. And they're like, yeah, Jesus was the first to put his hands on a leper that no one else wanted to touch. Jesus was willing to meet the woman at the well that everyone rejected. Jesus was willing to take the moment to feed people when they had no food. Jesus was the one that was the first to demonstrate this big, audacious love. And now Jesus is saying, you're going to do that. You're going to demonstrate crazy love. But it's easy when he's in the room. When the guy that's in the room does the loving, you just go, yeah, we got this. Man, I'm like known as the daddy of love. I could just see Peter say that. Like as Jesus is telling him, you're going to deny me, Peter's like, never. I'm like the most faithful of all time, Jesus. So my wife leaves. My wife just wakes up in the morning happy. She just kind of like springs up out of bed and starts Jack's lunch and like, good morning, son, and sits with him on the couch and nestles him. And I've never really had to do that. So I'm afforded the luxury of waking up grumpy a little bit. I can kind of sleep in. I don't have to make his lunch because she's already taken care of that. And now all of a sudden she's gone and I wake up and Jack's like, he's in my room like, Dad, it's time to go. Like, I need you to make my lunch and get my clothes. And I'm like, ugh, where's your mom, you know? You see, it's easy to say, I got this, when the guy that's doing it's in the room. But when they're gone, all of a sudden now I'm responsible for the schedule. I'm responsible for the lunch. I'm responsible for the clothing. I'm responsible for the laundry. I'm responsible. And this responsibility feels overwhelming. I wasn't meant to do this. Babe, I need you to come out. That's the reality that I believe that the disciples kind of got to when Jesus left them. I know the heavens are opening up. It's because I'm preaching. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I think that when he was talking to them about this idea of powerful love with action, they were like, yeah, Jesus, we get it. You're the Son of the living God. Of course it was easy for you. Like, we're in. Whatever you want us to do. But the moment he was gone, you know what it's like? It's like when you're at work and you have a team and you have like a boss. And that boss is always with you guys and he just kind of makes things work. But then when that boss leaves, it's interesting to watch the personalities of people when the boss is gone. You get the one guy that like all of a sudden becomes like in charge and you're like, who died and made him in charge? And or her. And then you got another person that's like, all of a sudden they're like, I'm out. They're like off getting coffee. And you're like, I didn't know we could go get coffee right now. And all of a sudden everybody's weird, quirky personalities come to play because the person who's managed everybody is gone. All of a sudden, we have some friends whose parents, the mom passed away after they had been together for like, 50 years. And the adult kids were like, my dad has changed. Like, he's not the same dad anymore. And I always heard those stories and I thought that was weird. And then my wife left to go to LA and I'm like, I'm fully that guy. I'm going to be the grouchy old man. And all my adult children are going to be like, what happened to dad? You know? So the followers of Jesus are now in this place. Jesus has told them that you know how the world is going to know that you're my followers is because of the way you love each other. But now the guy that kind of kept it all together is gone. How is this supposed to work? Like, greater things you're going to do, we all of a sudden begin to understand in the context that he's talking about love that has incredible action and power connected to it. That's what the world needs. Not just the idea or the concept of love. And you know what? The hardest people are to love are sometimes the people that are sitting here in this room. It's interesting. We can love complete strangers, but sometimes our own kids we treat worse. So the followers of Jesus find themselves in this place, and I can only imagine now that he's gone that everybody starts kind of turning their opinions towards each other. And he tells them to go into this room and kind of wait. And I think as a kid, I always pictured this prayer meeting in Acts chapter 2. If you don't know, the disciples go into this prayer room, and from there, this incredible moment happens. And I always pictured that prayer meeting like, Like if I was at my parents' house, Pastor Carl and Debbie's house, and praying with them, they're like, you know, yeah, God, and oh, we're going to take the universe for Jesus. And that's just the way they pray. And they just pray these big, crazy prayers. And I'm like, man, that's easy. I'm a total prayer warrior. And then all of a sudden you're not with them anymore. And you're like, you don't pray. And I can only imagine what it was like as they were in that place. And now they're kind of turned towards one another. The guy that made everything smooth is gone. I don't think they were really praying much. Probably pretty quiet, and occasionally somebody prays a horizontal prayer. You know what those are like. It's not directed towards God. It's actually directed towards people. Like, Lord, this is my sister, by the way. She's the worship leader. Lord, we just ask that you would help us learn how to clean. That you know, some of us leave things around, and this isn't true, but this is like what we do, right? We pray these weird prayers, and everybody in the room knows it, and they're looking like, that was weird. What do we do now? Wait, we're supposed to be the mouth and the hands and the feet of Jesus? We're supposed to demonstrate this love? Listen. They're in the middle of Jerusalem in a room. There's no windows, right? So people can hear everything around them. And the people that are around them are the same people that crucified their leader. So they're not in there yelling, Jesus is Lord! He's awesome! You know why? Because they're going to probably be thinking that those people are going to kill them too. When you're afraid of your life, when you feel like you have nothing that can overcome the present situation, you're not bold and bodacious and crazy and wild and you step into moments. You're more like, we're just going to sit around quietly, guys. And yet the people that they were called to love are on the outside of their four walls. And they were struggling. The reason why I know that is just pure human behavior. So what am I bringing us to? I'm bringing us to this place that the followers of Jesus experienced. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, we have gotten used to serving speechless gods, idols. I think in church, we've gotten used to a speechless, voiceless God. And anytime something interrupts our world and looks a little out of the ordinary, we panic. Because it doesn't fit within our framework of, well, God's kind of out there and I'm kind of just doing my own business and he helps those that help themselves. So here's the followers of Jesus. They have been called to love incredibly. Paul says in Romans 12 that this life that we now live, we're called to love each other with genuine affection. We're called to think the best about each other. We're called to live a life of hospitality and open our door at any time. If we see a need, fill it. Do you know how hard that really is? Like, by the way, I can't wake up in the morning and just crush it out of sheer will. Ask my son. I have to apologize all the time. Oh, Jack, I'm sorry. I was grouchy today. I know mom's perfect. But what I love about Jesus is he didn't leave his followers with a concept and an idea of love, but he gave them. He said, listen, I'm going. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never leave you. In other words, you know that feeling that you're all alone and you're trying to figure this out? He's going to be right there. And you know that feeling when you feel like no one's got your back and you're stepping out in a place that feels uncomfortable? He's the one fighting for you. You know when you're trying to figure out what's the why behind the what? The Holy Spirit's going to show you the truth. And he's going to give you and show you what it is that you continually stay in that place so you can step into big stuff. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 14, following the greater things you're going to do. I believe that the greater things that we're going to do is we're going to be able to demonstrate love in a way that's so incredible. So let me bring us now landing the ship. Because here's the followers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit described as fire and wind. And I just love it. Like, you want me to kind of go into the Greek? It basically says fire and the wind. And we're like, well, what does that mean exactly? I have no idea, but it probably means it felt like fire and sounded like wind. Well, that's just weird. You're right. But so was when God spoke into the worlds and created. So was he took a woman from a rib. So was they walked across on dry land. It was God saying, I am not speechless. And I'm going to demonstrate my love to the world through you. And so there is one who gives us what we can't be, superhuman. And so in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, I don't know why in the church this has become such a dividing line and people are like, no, it's all the devil. And others are like, oh my God, I do it all the time. Everyone should do it. But these guys who are trying to figure out words to say to a group of people outside their walls and afraid for their lives and not knowing how to string two sentences together that could actually do something big. How do I love the people that crucified my Savior and they probably want to do it to me? How do I step into this thing called love and do things that actually cut through people's stuff and get to the very issue? Because by the way, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in me. And so all of a sudden, he gave them this moment where the Holy Spirit, it was like the reality of him being in their life became apparent. And why did they speak in tongues? Why was it this thing that we can't manufacture? We can't, like, okay, we have a book, and the book has all the vowels of speaking in tongues. Because this thing is not manufactured by man. It's God, and it's God wanting to speak through us. So it becomes supernatural. I think that's why people freak out about it, because we've gotten so used to a God that doesn't say much. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit stepped into the scene, he wasn't afraid of our walls, our borders, our defense mechanisms. He wasn't afraid of the things that we're afraid of, or our prejudices, or who we consider worthy or unworthy. He wanted to fill their lives because he believes that everybody should hear the good news of God's love. And it's not just standing on a street corner. It's actually allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life and do something that's bigger than yourself. And so they began to speak in these tongues, and it was this incredible moment, and their lives were filled with boldness, and the windows were open, and people were like, what is this noise? And the miracle of whether they heard it in their own language or the guys were actually given their language, it really doesn't matter. The moment is that God did something big, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in their life. Then Peter walks out of the room. Here's a guy that every time he opens his mouth, he gets in trouble. And he strings along this incredible message, and 5,000 people come to the Lord. It is really pouring. And that's because of what God wants to do in this moment. It's hard to concentrate with all that sometimes. Listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 2, and I end with this. Let love be your highest goal. But you also should desire special abilities that the Spirit gives. And just leave it there. I mean, you can take it off, but I just want to pause that sentence. You see, from that moment, the followers of Jesus began to do things that was contrary to their own defense mechanisms. Our leader is gone. Let's hunker in. Let's just keep it amongst ourselves. And all of a sudden, this thing goes gangbuster wild. God begins to move through people that didn't deserve it, didn't earn it. God begins to show up big. And then he begins to illustrate the Holy Spirit is going to give you gifts. The gifts are not the issue. The issue is he wants to demonstrate his love through you. So for one, he might give the ability to see what's really going on in someone's life and communicate it in a way that causes them to go, there is a God. How did you know this? Another might be the gift of generosity. We have a gentleman in our church who just heard a need of a gal that just was trying to finish school and had kids and was just trying to figure it all out. And he gathered some people together and we're just going to pay that person's rent. That opened up a door of tangible love into that person's life that they had never experienced before. It allows us to step into people's lives and believe that the Holy Spirit can do what we're incapable of. So stop freaking out about the what and realize it's the who. It's people. And let me just give this little side bit as we conclude. I am so grateful for the Holy Spirit and the ability to speak in tongues. And for some of you, that may be very offensive, but I was 7 years old when I experienced the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And I have discovered one thing, that when I can't pray, when I'm struggling and can't string words together, and I need the Holy Spirit's help, He prays things in and through me that gives me a confidence and a hope to be able to step into situations and love people like I didn't even know they could be loved. Listen, I'm not making it the thing. I'm just saying it's a part of this thing that God wants to do, which is release love in people's lives. And so if I need help, which by the way, it's okay to say I need help, the Holy Spirit wants to first work in me. Because by the way, when Jesus said the Holy Spirit's coming, he directed it all towards what the Holy Spirit was going to do in their lives before he explained what he was going to do through them. So first, the Holy Spirit's got to work in me. He's got to do things in me. He's got to create confidence in me so that I can step into moments and release love in the house. Come on, stand on up.